of Krishna consciousness without getting to reality. When we get to reality, then, then we see that it's true. Now, but Krishna is also saying that with that sadhusanga, that association, now all of us in this room, we have that same incredible association with Srila Prabhupada, Mahaprabhu. And I was to a class called the Goloka Talk. Did anybody else take that class? And we remember him talking about, you know, how the soul goes up and down, and then PowerPoint, so it's real visual, just like up and down, trying to enjoy this material world. And all of us have always said two times, when we come into the material world, we become Brahma. Now, Lord Brahma is inconceivable of time, how it can be recognized as being the most intelligent person in the whole universe, and he's the most modest to achieve such a position. But if Lord Brahma does not have association of Sadhu Sangha, association of a pure devotee, he, even Lord Brahma, will be bewildered. So what to speak of everyone else? Without that association, it's impossible. It takes that association. And from the Buddha, he told him here that unless one smears himself with the dust of the feet of a devotee, of a pure devotee, there's no chance of liberation, no chance of being disentangled from this intense suffering. And so we can imagine, I mean, we must imagine our great fortune. And we could have taken birth anywhere, like those who keep the past. So we could have taken birth in South India. Did anybody here take birth in South India? Yeah. But you know, a bunch of people here worshiping Krishna with the gold and looking in common, right? But there, if we were born there, we would just be taught worship of Lakshmi Narayan, and we would go to Vaikuntha, and that's extremely elevated. What to speak of taking birth somewhere where there's no sadhu sangha, no association. Now, of course, on all of us, like we saw the million people as they came over this festival, and just, you know, the devotees from temples, imagine the expenditure if we collectively added up how much money is spent to get here, and all these pilgrims, some of them poor farmers coming from distance, some of them walking or riding into some little vehicle, great endeavor to come here. But we came for that sadhu sangha, for that association of other devotees, and for the mercy of the Lord. So that's why we came, right? We were on food staying home, and of course there are devotees where most of us live, but we came to get that association which also enhances our devotional service. Now, we just can't imagine our fortune to actually be here at this time and at this place and to be connected to this Parampara, because all of our acharyas, they are coming directly from the spiritual world. You know, also in the class we explained to everyone was in Krishna Lila, you know, the previous acharyas. And so it's really behooves us to take advantage of the full gospel. Now the whole world is revolving under the bodily conception. And we may not take it for granted because some of us are sometimes in bodily conception too. But when you think of it, like, you know, most people, they get jealous, like, about getting out of the entanglement. But devotees intercept, devotees that have compassion, that don't know they're very ill, like Raghuvinda said, it's like one has a disease, a snake bite, and the body's burning with this poison, My grandmother's a cool medicine of Sally Sansa, which means spiritual instruction. Not that we just think just everything about her was here. I was here in 1976. You met her every morning. He would circumambulate after meeting the deities. He would circumambulate the temple of the deities and then stop at the bell and ring the bell. Remember? And the boys would go wild. And we would throw Susie off and we'd take the dust, you know? And taking the dust is a lot more than taking the dust. It's taking the instructions of the spiritual master. He said, I didn't take shelter of anything. Paul said, if you follow the instructions of the human, then there's no question of falling down. We won't fall down. It's a kind of safety and a kind of security there. But, the devotees might intercept, we see, by somebody, they go out and go out and distribute books, right? So sometimes, and like, we have so many festivals and the bus tour and the use of performing, but these people, they have no intentions. When they go out in the day, they're thinking, oh, I'm going to go look for some spiritual association so I can find out who I am and what's the goal of life. Not this will kind of stand from their mind usually, but then the devotee will think as well. Here, you know, take this, hear the holy name, take this book, hear philosophy. Now, you know about that we also had a lot in this class about there's a lot of misconceptions of what was said in the past. One advantage was we didn't know anything. Even though we had no concept of what's a demigod, so we didn't have any previous worship going on like that. Many of us were Christians or Jewish, and still that was very shallow compared. So it was very easy to accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. But here, in India, there are so many misconceptions that we don't know unless we picture it, I guess. Then you know. But what it says here, let's see, right here in the previous chapter, Well, the verse would be saying, you know that there are so many cheaters, Prabhupada said, so many people are just, he said here that they are bogus gurus and cheaters and imposters and the only mistake people could fall into the hands of such persons. So that's why the devotees have to study Prabhupada's books so that we will be able to actually explain what the truth is. Like I've been very much contaminated, I would say, in the West, because we really want to start very lightly so that we don't upset anybody and we don't, you're okay. Like, for example, I went to the Bhakti Fest. Did anyone ever hear of the Bhakti Fest? Did some of you went? But you know, the Bhakti Fest, imagine, that sounds pretty good, right? The Bhakti Fest. But there's a Southern Girl for the most liberal of our states in the United States. And it's a festival called the Bhakti Fest. But they are meant to have a distributed model there. And actually, people don't know what is Bhakti. And most of the chants and they're singing called Shaktima, Shaktima, and they're now saying, chant this mantra. First, meditate on what you want, you know, your material desires. And then just Shaktima, Shaktima, and you'll get anything you want. And this is Bhakti Fest. And one of our devotees spoke at this, our devotees. And I thought, isn't that cute? But then later I thought, it's all this, all this. He said this,
and part of the story is he's the most influential person at the Bible Fest. And they said, you know, because we want to love everyone, right? And we want to all be united and all. Before I go on, I just think that gifts are all different festivals, and never in the history of my book distribution have I distributed so few books that are defense. Many good guys, like one part of the year, and then we got Jen Davis from Duolatra, and four cases on Octi, the Art of Eternal Love paperback. We didn't know they free and people wouldn't take them. So this is what he says. So this is what this lady said. He said, one time there was a traveler and he went to a village and he said, do you have some water? He asked, yes, do we have water? We have the best water because our well is the best water in the whole state. This water is so sweet. So please drink with satisfaction. And he drank water, then I said, thank you. And he was on a pilgrimage, so he kept traveling, went to the next village. We have some water. We have the best water. Our water is so sweet and just wonderful, and we'll learn to. And he drank all of very nice water. So this went on, he went to several different villages. He was told that we have the best water. And then, later, we found out, because you see, all the water is the same. So this book is the same. All the water is the same, because it's all found underground. So in the guru, I my guru, all of the guru, this is all the same. And I'm like, oh, that's so poetic. But it's total nonsense. Because most of these people are real bodies. And all of the clients, because in love, first of so much, through South Island, Arctic-Sitanta, they have so much love for the personality of Godhead that, you know, to our family makes them so angry, especially because they're misleading innocent people and then the scientists. So they're not. And not just all accepting, and then, you know, either told in the fact, even in South India, they have a sheep attack with three altars. One altar is nothing, because that's, you know, nothing. It's just when people think it's not important. Then the next altar is a Shiva Linga, and the next altar is a Divya Shiva. Some people come, but on the ground is nothingness. So, but all of them, it wasn't really like starting with Bhakti, you know, studying and exposing. And then, of course, Bhakti Siddhanta started a revolutionary movement, 64 months in about less than 20 years' time, I believe, to sannyas and to live. And just like the whole movement, the whole goal was preaching. You know, all the men, he just rejected the brahmacharis and then making them into sannyasis. And on very high standards, sometimes we talk about, oh, but the five brothers, you know, and we may divide them a bit, but when you read Bhakti Siddhanta Bhagavata, they have volume 3, is it? About 46 devotees, a little summary of each one, many very faulty personalities, very austere, you know, everyone went to the Lord every day, even if you were sick. If you were sick, then you would, it said you would hug the wall, and you wouldn't bathe, but you just stand at the back and lean against the wall, and nothing is, and most of the volunteers went out every day at 7:30 in the morning, door to door preaching. So we wanted, you know, them, of course they heard from them every day speaking, not just 40-minute lecture, and then in 2 hours, often 4 hours, almost no defense philosophy. And it's not even like 4 minutes, 12 hours, 7 times. They couldn't hardly speak their language, but just by sharing them, they became so fluent. You know, because he spoke in English, Hindi, Assam, or just some Oregon, and he grew up in all these languages as well. They would become so fluent that people thought surely they were college graduates, and they were just illiterate. So, one nice thing though, in each of the jungles, they had istidosi, so during the preaching in the morning, and then there's istidosi after lunch, they come back to lunch. Now, didn't even at our istidosi, you know, we talk about the logistics of where we're going to have shows, and, you know, just, okay, it's now we can serve the time, and we just want to do that. But their istidosi were philosophy. So, like, just imagine, go out every day, don't go to war, so you can imagine, you meet someone, they're oppositional, because there was a lack of opposition due to all these philosophies, and Smart of Brahmins, Dr. Brahmins, and all kinds of deviant groups. And so go and meet these, and so, if they were like, someone who's very oppositional, they didn't exactly know that. And so they said, I'll be back tomorrow. So at the istidosi, each devotee could ask whoever, you know, who's about to sit down to a travel with them all the time. So whoever was the senior most devotee there, often a sannyasi, or whoever the senior, they would be the istidosi. And they would have a philosophical discussion how to answer every question. So then they can try that. The next day you go to the same guru and do, and then you could defeat them. And so it was like, so like we heard yesterday from Bhakti Krishnakaswami how I didn't know that originally the devotees were not well received here in India. You know, they thought they were with the CIA even still. And, you know, we divide them and who they're seeking and throw them at them. And, but now they're being respected. So Bhakti Siddhanta, plus his devotees, they also gain this reputation that they know this philosophy and that they are sages. Because one of the biggest oppositions was, you know, unless you're born in a Brahmin family, you can't be a Brahmin. Bhakti was a doctor, was a magistrate, you know, exactly a Brahmin. So Bhakti Siddhanta was not born in a Brahmin family, according to them. And so, and then he initiated and gave sannyas to non-Brahmin. So there was tremendous, like, humbleness and opposition. And that's another story. The thing is, my point is, like, I feel personally, like, how deep and contaminated I've become, that I don't want to teach, like, the whole thing is just be nice. Well, it's so nice too, but it's like, that we should be, perfect gentlemen, and we should be so well behaved that people are attracted to the Western qualities. But, until they speak, if they speak nonsense, then the devotee must speak up against it. And this would be one more promotion that she would have said. Now, somebody said the other day in class, now, you know, people find themselves first country, and everything's the best, you know, book distribution, dealership, teaching, curriculum, teaching, you know, everything's the best sometimes. Studying, you know, all the time. But here, like I said, just sort of talking about each other. This was in a lecture in January 1971. This one Chakravarti Thakur has commented that a devotee, when he goes to preach and is attacked by the opposing elements, that's also culture of bhakti, devotional service. Not that any devotee preaches a human wasting my time, but I will sit down with the answer chair, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. This is all nonsense. You have to preach. It's the opposing elements. That is better than chanting Hare Krishna. We saw almost a camera, Lord was following us, and we're telling a powerful story, and everyone wants to hear about that, right? And we all want to hear it, just, how Mr. Joe, wonderful and loving and kind, and how he gave us, the Holy Land of Bashan, and shelter, a place to live, to be away from the Materialistic Association. Wow, that was so heavy in reaching to any opposition, it doesn't matter. But like I said, especially to people who are misleading others, that would make him, so upset, actually. And he said, actually yesterday, he said, first they will laugh at us, and then they will ridicule us, then they will love us, persecute us, actually, then they will love us. So, and we also heard about the Presbyterian, how this new temple is going to create friction amongst the scientific community or people that were taught. So we have to have different creatures on board who are going to try to set them straight. This part of St. Also in a conversation. As soon as you become successful, you make enemies. That is natural. That is the sign of success. And this one is opposition. It is not genuine. It is not genuine. It is not serious. Opposition must be with. So, even one public politician said, this high-pressure movement is dangerous when we have an anti-court movement going on in the 70s. It's dangerous, and if it's not checked, in 10 years, they will probably influence, they will take over and be able to influence people against the government. So it's meant to shake things up because really the bodily conception is very, very deep. And just imagine if people were not in the bodily conception, what they would not be purchasing, how much that would hit the economic condition of the world, because most foods are purchased for the bodily conception of life. And so we are so fortunate. And here in India, I didn't know, I always thought everyone was here, even in America, on the distribution, I meet an Indian, and I was saying, Krishna, Krishna says Krishna. And my daughter's like, it doesn't mean they're devotee. And I just think everyone is a devotee in India. But you know what? Mumbai was trying to sell the Overdone movie. Is the producer here, Vasudev? And at the end, it was so many people who were compromised on Overdone. Wouldn't that melt your heart? And I always see, I helped just watch movies praying to the deities. But then, people were interviewed at the end. Why do you do this tremendous austerity? And almost everyone, right? Great percentage. It's for material reason. I'm doing it so that my daughter can get a good husband, so that I can get a good job, so that my mother will be cured of cancer. They're doing these tremendous societies, but the whole motive is, what can I get materially out of it? And I'm, I don't want to judge anybody. I just thought everyone's praying for pure devotional service. I love you, Ashita. And actually, I guess if we interview too, we find that this is so common, in Christianity, we have the bread, give us this day our daily bread. I'm always asking God, give me, take care of me, your order supplier, and give me everything. But we only want pure devotional service, and pure devotional service means only to please Krishna. Everything is for his pleasure, and it doesn't matter if I'm satisfied or not. You know, it's kind of like a mother's love for her baby. She just loves that baby no matter what, and babies are not always really pleasant and smiley and joyful, you know? Sometimes they're tired and cranky and sick and whining, and it can just drive you crazy, but you still love them no matter what. So we want to do a whole tradition, no matter what, no matter what we are experiencing or feeling, or how he's treating us, you could say. You know, we want to do anything just for him. And if we don't have this fixation, we can easily be deviated too. You know, we could end up in a heavenly planet, which is a precarious situation because it's hard to get out. Once you get there, it's so comfortable. You know, even now, right, if you go to a very comfortable place, you don't want to leave. So I imagine there, and no sickness, and, you know, just the best foods, and most beautiful people, and brothers, and everything. You just don't feel that impetus to want to get out. So even here, we have to be fixed. Like, what do we want? You know, what is our practice for? Why are we sharing the Krishna? You know, why are we engaging in service? But, and remember that we want to have Krishna, you know, that love for Krishna. And we want to drown in Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Here in this verse now, we're saying, all over the world, we must wake people up, wake them up. And you think, how can I, you know, I'm so upset on the bodily conception of life. But still, we're walking the Lord as we go on, and we just give to them. Like, you know, you may have heard of the theistic exhibition that Bhakti Siddhanta started for preaching. Like, we had an India Festival of India, and here you have the whole campus is a festival. The following of Festival of India is maybe about 4 times its reason to bring, with all kinds of exhibits and a stage for dance and drama and kirtan. And it's so wonderful, and there's all kinds of animals. So this music exhibition was a square mile, that's almost 2 kilometers, and it was set up mainly for about a month. It would stay, like, go right downtown Calcutta, and then go on the train to Delhi, you know, all the cities. And imagine this setup. And all these exhibits, he could have traumatized. I don't want you going to those exhibits. It's just to attract people here so they could hear this talk. And, like, here, like, you know, in the old days, we didn't have hired people. The police did everything. There was nobody hired. I think only one in Bellamy or Oakley say it all the time. Nobody's for anything. They were like cleaning. They would be the ushers for the people. But it's just so overwhelming, so many people here. But at this theistic exhibition, where all of the dormitories were stationed, as soon as the guests come, each one of you take a group and give them a guided tour around the exhibition so that you're teaching to them constantly, teaching more to your philosophy. And here are so many people, I don't see any devotees talking to them. But I don't know, maybe they are, like, they're always a speaker, I guess there's something going on in Bengali, right? But imagine that each devotee took a group of pilgrims, those of you who speak Bengali, but now they will come from all over the world to see the Nigerian. You know, imagine they took a group and preached, like, how effective. And even when you had this most beautiful happy shape, and they thought, I wonder if anybody knows about it. Because if, I don't know how you find out things, I was trying to find out now about that, but I thought some people are just sitting far away eating puff rice. That's the travel food of India, right? Puff rice. And so sitting under the tree on some newspaper with their family eating puff rice. And I'm like, don't be nervous, I'm so going on over there. But something else is telling them, you know, you know, my thought always to be people to go in and tell them. And just one thing, the Christians, they should be devotees. I mean, no problem, Lord, for someone that you have to want to do this so harsh. And just hope, I'd rather go out with someone who does know, and then very quickly you'll see that you know too, you know how. And because people are so bewildered and lost, and they may look very successful, but our attorneys let us know in the Shiva Bhagavatam, this chapter, like all about the intense suffering. That's going to go on. It is, you know, this is the end of this chapter, and then there's the new chapter of course, which is enjoying an inner elaboration on what you've already heard. So, anyway, let us, you know, take this message and become part of a distribution of the message somehow. You know, there's so many different ways. And if you speak the loud and talk to all the guests. There's not a lot of speaking Russian, speaking Russian. So anyway, I'll end here because I'm supposed to end earlier. Any comments or questions on these topics? Yes, Peter. Oh, cool. Wondering up. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a mic here. Can I see it? Oh, okay, I remember.
The same is not a hurdle. The top is so confused how you get through. You felt that was, let's say, was not the end of that one. So that's a spiritual transfer, a spiritual current that comes from the disciple. And I mean, so much that our heart has not heard it out. And I think the first man goes and they hear on the street, and in their association, in the midst, I felt something really horrible. And I was in the street most of the day, and I thought, this is the year, but I felt in that moment that we knew it.
Thank you for the loss, our influence, because you are
Right, so the question is how to preach without being too preachy, so like problematic, right, with that. So the thing is personalism, like that we actually relate to the people in a personal way, you know, not that, yeah, just like our book distribution, some people will be saying, oh, it's just so hard. And because they go out and they just spread someone, preach to them, and the person never says a word. But it's actually a dialogue, you know, being quiet from them. And then from that, we can relate the philosophy to an aspect of their life. But anyway, it just takes practice, and it takes remembering personalism and remembering how kind, you know, our spiritual masters are, and how, you know, the devotees that preach to us, how they affected us through their preaching. And at the same time, if the nonsense is spoken, to be able to be heeded soundly, you know, without arguing and, as you say, beating them over the head, like, there was a mad magazine, that magazine was around. Cartoon there where someone approaches someone with a book. It's just a cartoon, there's no words or anything. And he gives them, the mind isn't taken, but then you just see this circle, arms and legs up in the air, and then in the end cartoon is the book is down his throat. He walks away. So it's very short, the book down his throat. So they're not like that. Somehow to make it, you know, like we have to be attracted, the ways to attract people, right? Kirtan and the Dharma. But then, there are many people, like in Vrindavan, the Kirtan, so people, they don't know how to push them, they go buy pizza and leave, and never hear any philosophy. Like, you know, what's happening? Like, you know, I heard these circles have hundreds of Brahmacharis in them, and then I just see hired help everywhere. But I mean, that's what the Brahmacharis are especially meant to do, right? To just, you know, just, they'll be so happy to hear from you, philosophy. And then to feel, like, oh, I have a friend at the temple. I have a friend there, so I'm going to go again and see that friend. And then because of the relationship, they're open to hearing more and more. But so it's a balancing thing, not to be dogmatic and, like you said, so preachy, but to try to present in a palatable way. But then, especially if sometimes at our festivals, we meet hacklers, like Christian hacklers, and personally, we have to talk to them about book distribution. I just very quickly say, I say, please pray for me, and they say, okay, I will. But then, if you're in a public place, you may be getting for the benefit of business other people around the large, and they're just living many students around listening, so they want to hear what you're going to say. So then they'll begin for their benefit, knowing that the person will never be changed. He's pleased to say, you know, if heaven is full of people like you, I don't want to go there. Harsh, but when they're so, you know, when there's so much antagonism like that. So just keep practicing, practicing, and then people will give us intelligence what to say and how to affect them. But the thing is, we have to untie our hands are tied. We have to, you know, step into the water and do it, even though it's uncomfortable, it's beyond our comfort zone, but somehow do it. And link up to Sadhu Sangha, link up with those who are doing it, and just be with them, and then you'll see it will be contagious. Like that. Okay? So I may try to work. Did you have a question?
Oh,
yeah, okay. Is it? Yeah. don't think it's a long one.
We have a pretty interesting statement in the start of the class. He said that the Bible represents the exposure of your life and your suffering in order. So he said that because of the Bible represents so much frankly, even many devotees, they don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
So he said that because of this, they end up having a completely different view of what is spiritual life. So can you, like, along with the four of us, what are the danger of not hearing about it?
Yeah, so the danger is, you know, that it will take a long time to get purified because Krishna consciousness is attractive and, you know, it is a wonderful social institution where we can all dress up really nicely and meet our friends because we used to see our friends every day in the morning program, but now we can see them on Sunday and get together and, you know, and just have a great time together at this and this over there. I'm here to meet my friends. And then, you know, we don't just get the full, mercy. It takes like a tremendous amount of effort, doesn't it, to become purified and to develop like Krishna. And, it takes like every day, right? Every single day, like just being, tenacious in our desire for spiritual advancement. So, you know, it will happen, I guess, full experience, full level experience, that we are not getting the full benefit of not experiencing the full wealth of water in Krishna consciousness. And I think that all of us, you know, we know devotees who are experiencing much higher levels than we are. So we want to have that association. And those associations mean so self-service, you get to do these nine things with others, and then with others who enhances our own. So, you know, just our living is only growing more and more in North diversity. That's why it's important that we speak philosophy so people know. Okay? Now, if they want to ask questions, I'll approach you and Dennis.
Is a little bit the same person, but another angle?
I don't think it's on.
Oh, it is.
We can get it.
Okay. It's a
little bit different of the
because
of... Yeah, it's a little bit different somewhere else.
Yeah. So that 1% of the society starts doing the same thing, then the rest of the society will do the same thing. So nothing happened to ISKCON when there's more than 10% of the ISKCON devotees stop reading Srila Prabhupada's book. What do you think will happen to them?
Well, can they stop reading Srila Prabhupada's book? I think she's saying that there is like a statistical concept that 10% of people are doing something that's wrong, right? But so about 10%, and I'd say maybe more than 10% are not reading Prabhupada's books right now. And the others will follow. But the thing is that we change our association as much as we love devotees and appreciate them, that they've made this step and they're giving up, you know, and they accept Krishna as God and giving up the bodily perception. So we seek association of those who are serious and like I said, you can tell because we want to engage in service, so they engage in service and that in our association we're hearing more about Krishna and we're inspired to do more. So we just have to, it may be like that, but sure, there's always a percentage who are, we have to go after that, find a serious association, and also be generous with our association. Even if we're not very advanced, we can still give our association to others because there are so many newer people or, you know, people that don't know as much. And just together, you know, hearing and sharing together. We have so many now, more seminars. I'm not criticizing, but there's more seminars on social development and on philosophy and, you know, just like relationships. But, you know, I think that if we had more travel and curriculum together, that would enhance our relationships. I mean, just like married life, if we are married and engaging in Christian consciousness together, and giving and sharing and serving, how much more peaceful and harmonious the relationship will be without extra extraneous or suffering endeavor to improve the relationship. Not that they're not valid and helpful, but you know, it just takes care of so many things with just the simple process of that. Okay, so we'll end here. And all this to my partner, all this to she would have done it. I'm going to go to the next one.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to go to the next slide. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm Thank you. Oh, Oh, my God.